Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely terrific day today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great. I was telling Todd, our producer, before we came on today, I do this show in a really ergonomically designed chair. It's called an Ekranis chair, and I've got like a computer table set up in front of me. And yesterday, when I got all fired up like I did, I had to get up and walk around. I couldn't just sit here all relaxed doing a show. I had to, you know, because I'm a platform speaker by trade. You guys know that. I've done seminars to 30, 40,000 people at one time, you know. And so what happens is I like to get up and walk around when I speak. And I got up there yesterday. I'm running around the house, jumping up and down, yelling and screaming, acting like I'm about to be picked up by the little short padded bus. And quite frankly, I was breathing really heavy into the microphone yesterday. I apologize to you guys for that, because I didn't move the mic. I usually keep it about 4 inches away from my mouth when I talk, and so I didn't move it. So I'm huffing and puffing, running around. So forgive the huffing and puffing yesterday. But apparently, it was a good show, because I had a good friend of mine, a man cow. I sent him a copy of the show yesterday. I sent him a lot of links, and he listened to it. And he calls me up today, and he goes, "Well, brother, I was very disturbed by what you said, about some of the things, and almost everything you said was right." And I said, "Good." And he goes, well, why do you think it's all good? And I said, because we're talking about it the next day. I said, in marketing, if people talk about you the next day around the water fountain, that means you said something that got everybody's attention. And you got people riled up, whether good or bad or indifferent. It doesn't make a difference. You got them stoked up because you know you're right. He goes, when somebody's talking about you the next day after a show, you know, you got something going on. I said, yeah. He goes, well, I loved a lot of what you talked about. And so we talked about 30 minutes. And then I got a letter from Randy, and he's funny. I got a bunch of these letters. I'll read you one of them. He goes, "Ted, warning, stand clear of microphone when the Ted and Austin Brower Show is in motion. Make a great t-shirt. 1128 show, you tore it up, my..." This is the thing, 1128 show, "You tore it up, my brother, from another mother. The microphone is still probably smoking. I download the shows and listen. This is a great one. It has information in it I have never heard. I enjoy learning from you daily. Please keep the history a coming." And so, you know, guys, thank you. By the way, there are a lot of other people who wrote me stuff. Matthew sends me letters all the time. I got so many of you guys send me stuff all the time. Thank you so much. I actually read everything you send. Mark sends a lot of stuff. Karen sends a lot of stuff. All of you guys, it means a lot to me, because a lot of you guys actually provide me a lot of information that I use on the show. And of course, you know that. But guys, it's just really nice, you know, when you guys do that for me. Like Matthew wrote yesterday, "Guten Morgen, meinen Bruder." That means good morning, my brother. "Great show yesterday." And he goes, "I hope your voice is getting better." And so I guess basically you hear it's still a little raspy, because I got too busy while listening to the market act, so I listened again later. And he goes, "Throat coat and honey for your throat." And so it was pretty cool. So I really, really enjoy when you guys send me stuff like this, because it really makes a difference to me, because I know, you know, with every letter you get, there's probably another 300 or 400 people who are thinking the same thing. So guys, thank you for the support. Thank you for the positive feedback from yesterday, because guys, I love you. And you guys know something. When I jump up and down and run around, I'm not reading a teleprompter. When they say, "Also, I ain't reading no stinking teleprompter." And I've read teleprompters. I'm actually quite good at them. I've done them a lot on TV shows. And it's just all coming from my heart. If I get under the anointing, it comes from that. I remember years ago, they flew me up to Rod Parsley's church, because, you know, Rod had lost 40 pounds and lowered his cholesterol, triglycerides, was doing great, and wanted me to get on the show and talk about, you know, what had happened to his health. I mean, he literally dropped 11 inches on his waistline, you know, using our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program and reading the Maximum Energy book. And so they wanted me to come up and talk to him. So it was funny, Austin, because I'm sitting in this big, huge conference room. He's at a huge church in Columbus, Ohio. And they bring me a script. And they said, "Here's your script for the show tomorrow we're going to do. We want you to read it so you know what the teleprompter is going to say." And I looked at him and I said, "You've scripted out a show for me to do after I've done 4,000 or 5,000 of the same shows, the same topic?" And they said, "Yeah, we want to make sure that we cover the stuff we need to cover." And I said, "Why don't we just do a generic show tomorrow with Rod? Let the Holy Spirit flow and let me just do the best I can and just be truthful and talk about what we want to talk about rather than reading a script and reading a teleprompter." And Rod looks at him and goes, "Yeah, let's do it that way. Let's do it Ted's way." And so these guys had literally written a 40-page script. I don't know if I ever told you that or not. And they wanted me to actually read it on the teleprompter the next day. And I said, "I'm going to do that." I said, "I've done this so many times." And my publicist, Jerry, called me the other day. He wanted me to do a show. I was on with a big AM station out of North Florida. And it was so funny that he said they want to talk about nutrition. I said, "Nutrition?" I said, "How long are we going to have?" He goes, "Half an hour." I said, "Okay, I won't even need notes on that. I mean, I've done that so much, I can talk about that for hours on it. I've done 6 and 8 hour seminars on just health." And you guys, it's just so nice to have you with me and us talking around the dinner table and the coffee table and, you know, the water fountain the next day, and you guys sending the show out to all these different people. Thank you. I love you guys. Awesome. What's your first story?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was definitely a good show, you say. A lot of interesting things going on. And just kind of branching off on some of that stuff that we talked about yesterday here. Now, you know, a lot of people have seen the movie Minority Report, Tom Cruise. It was done, almost 15, 16 years ago now. What's crazy, I brought this article up about 6 months ago when a lot of these things were kind of starting to surface over in the UK. But now, basically, the British police are building an AI program that they say will help stop crimes before they've been committed. I kid you not. Police in the United Kingdom have started piloting a project that uses artificial intelligence to determine how likely someone is to commit a crime or be a victim of a crime. These include crimes involving guns, knives, as well as modern slavery, which, ironically enough, the police creating the program don't see government as modern slavery, which, that's the irony of it. The West Midlands Police Department is heading the trial project through the end of March 2019. At that time, they're expected to have a full rollout prototype by then. There are 8 other police departments reportedly involved in this as well, and the hope is to expand it to the police departments throughout the entire United Kingdom by 2020. The program is dubbed the National Data Analytics Solution. The system pulls data from every single local national police database, including closed-circuit televisions and facial recognition software. Ian Donnelly, the police lead on the project, told New Scientist they've collected over a terabyte of data from these systems already, including logs of committed crimes and about 5 million identifiable people. The system has 1,400 indicators from this data that can help flag someone who may commit a crime. The people in the database who are flagged by the system's algorithm are being prone to violent acts will get a high-risk score. Here we go again, guys, with that score system. Just like they're doing in China right now with a social credit score, now they want to do a risk score, how likely you are to commit a crime in the UK. New Scientist report says with signals that your chances of committing a serious crime in the future will be predicted by the risk score. Donnelly told the New Scientist that they don't have plans to arrest anyone before they've committed a crime. Yeah, right now they don't. And that they want to provide counseling to those in the system that might need it. Even with that assurance that they're putting on there, it isn't too difficult to imagine how tyrannical this kind of technology could become very, very quickly just within the next few years, Dan. So, I mean, what do you think about this now that they're actually going to start doing basically risk scores on how likely you are? See, what they're doing now is they're under this guise of what they're saying here. They're saying, well, people that are basically aggressive or they may be prone to violent acts, yada, yada, yada. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to marginalize it and say, well, we're only going to use this towards people that are very violent, they're very aggressive, they do things like this. What they're not telling you is that's not where it's going to stop. It's going to do the same thing they do in China where they monitor your social media eventually. They monitor you on every single closed-circuit television. They monitor your behavior as far as your online traffic and your Google searches. They monitor who you hang out with. And that are all going to be combined in the factors that are going to determine your risk score till they reach a point where they start saying, well, Austin, we're sorry to tell you, sir, but your risk score is basically over 500, which means we're going to have to detain you now. You know, we're not going to arrest you, but we need to detain you right now because you have a high risk score. You go, I've never been arrested for anything. I'm not involved in any crimes. I'm not doing anything. Yeah, but your risk score is coming up at 500, bud. Sorry, we don't argue with the AI system. The AI tells us what to do. Your name comes up. We just have to do it. It's nothing personal. That is how quickly these things start escalating to the point now that they're having a pre-crime system being in basically placed in the UK now, Deb.
This ties directly together with yesterday's show on smart dust and synthetic RNA. Now, if you missed yesterday's show, you're going to say, well, I got to hear that one. Yeah, you got to hear that one. Here's what happens. This is all designed, Austin. This is all beta testing to create a feedback loop. And what they want to do is once they get this synthetic RNA in place and they can start changing and creating different moods in people, then what will happen is this AI computer is going to start putting a frequency through a feedback loop to give it control to adjust the frequency of the human beings or the behavior of the human beings to meet the societal norm, whatever the AI decides the norm is supposed to be. If that means pedophilia, or bestiality or homosexuality or lesbians or transsexuals or anything. They pick the norm they want, and they create the feedback loop to generate that generalized frequency throughout the entire population to get everybody to tie into the AI and become compliant and be good little biorobots. We talked about it in detail yesterday. Now, this is what this is headed for. These are initial beta tests they're doing with this AI system they have in place over there already with personal credit scores and personal behavioral scores. Like yesterday, I was so far in statistics. You guys have never done much statistics. Let me tell you how it works. You have like a median, and you have like a common score, like you have an average, and it's like a hump on a chart. And then you got the outliers of both ends. You got the ones that are statistically the deviant in both directions. Same thing with IQ scores. You've got like the average American probably now has a 90 IQ score because we've been dumped down with fluoride, maybe an 85. And then you got the people down at the very bottom end, like the Somalians coming over 59. They're the bottom of the IQ scores. And then you got the ones at the other end. They're 150, 160, 170. And so what happens is they don't want any outliers either direction. They want to move the entire score towards the dumb ones as far as the 59 IQ scores and make everybody's behavior predictable so that everybody's thoughts can be evil all of the time, just like in Genesis chapter 6.
Yep.
The thing that everybody has to remember, listen to me, because I'm the only one that talks about this stuff, really. I'm it. We're at this show is so far out on the fringe of science and everywhere else. This is what we talk about. This has been done to us before. Okay, they've done this already. This has already happened with the pre-Adamic civilization. This has already been done to us before, after Adam and Eve got here and the Nephilim came in and started breeding with all the women and bringing different IQ scores and different genetic weirdos and half men and half horses. The titans of the old, I personally believe they were the Nephilim and the giants and all the things that Steve Quayle talks about. I believe that's all real. People say it's mythology. Well, there's too many statues of giants laying around, okay? Something happened way back when.
That's true.
So all of this, it is. And the Smithsonian has covered up so much of this stuff. So we've got too much of this stuff with these giant bones being found and these giant skeletons being found. So something happened way back when, you know, when everything went bump in the night. They've done it before. And what happened is when God came down and he saw, you know, what was going on. Because, you see, what happened is this. When God created the heavens and the earth, you know, they kind of, there was a giant war in the heavens. The Bible talks about it. And when God came back in and reconstructed the earth after the cataclysmic event that changed it, he basically reformed it and put man back on it. Now, this is not to say, because the pre-Adamic civilization happened. We see it in the historical records. And what happened is when God came back and saw man again, then he saw man how wicked he'd become because the fallen angels basically came back on the planet, did what they're going to do, and corrupted the DNA of the human beings. Now, this is what happens and what they're doing to us right now by bringing these other races into our country to corrupt the DNA to drop IQ scores. You say, well, that sounds like you're a racist. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just telling you statistically what happens when you take a person with a 50 IQ score and you breed them with a person who has 100 IQ scores, you get an average of a 75 IQ score child. This is what happens. I mean, you say, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't like it either, okay? It just is what it is. And so they want to get everybody into this matrix. And when God came down and saw what they were doing, and they were using the magnetic ley lines. And remember, when you move water more than 200 miles an hour through a real controlled space, it starts glowing blue, and it creates this giant field like 1,000 times more powerful than electricity is. Creates an electromagnetic flux around it. And what that does, going through the channels of the earth, creates these giant magnetic ley lines and energy fields, which help to create the gravitational field or the gravitational pull of the planet Earth, and it helps to create the energy field that encompasses us. That's what it does. And these were built on top of pyramidal structures. Pyramidal structures were built on top of them, along with sacrificial networks, to feed these interdimensional entities as much energy from the human sacrifices as they possibly could through the magnetic ley lines. And when God came in, he saw what they had done and how they had corrupted the planet. Every thought was evil all the time. He pulled the plug on and flushed it. He flooded it and said, ah, heck with this. DNA's contaminated. Got to clean it out. And so then this is one of the reasons the Nephilim were still after, before and after. And when Joshua went into the promised land, it was full of giants. Well, this was the Nephilim DNA coming back again. And then God told the Jewish people, who he chose through Abraham, to basically go in and clean out the Nephilim and kill them. And he said, you got to kill them. You got to kill their wives. You got to kill their children. You got to kill their animals. And the reason for that was because of racial purity. Plus, he had known the Israelites, being in Egypt for as long as they had been in there, had basically become contaminated with all of the teachings and the sorcery that had been taught in Egypt that had come from the Canaanite religions, you know, with Osiris, you know, with Asherah, with Moloch and Baal. And so he had to clean it all out. And plus, the animals were killed because the animals were trained to have sex with humans. I know that sounds sick and it's perverted. I'm sorry you got children listening to this, but that's what they did. That's why they had to kill everything. Well, what happened is they got compromised. They fell back into it. And then he gave them his law. He said, okay, guys, just do it this way. Follow the law. We'll be good. And I'm just going to pick you guys and we're going to set you apart. And then what happened is they got completely compromised and God scattered them. Then he had enough of it. He sent back Jesus Christ. Now he created Jesus Christ in his own image, in his exact image of God Almighty, it says in the book of Hebrews, the exact likeness of God Almighty. A lot of theologians called Jesus the second Adam because he started over again. And Jesus came as a kinsman redeemer, as a sacrifice for our sins, so that his blood would be shed and create a frequency for us as Christians to restore us back to God's frequency. And see, this is what Christianity is all about. The problem is, after the 3rd century, the middle of the 3rd century with Christianity, it got compromised, and it brought the Roman pagan gods into Catholicism. And this is what happened in 323. So what we have to do is we have to understand something. God had enough of it the first time and basically flushed the planet. Actually, that would be the second time. And then now he sent Jesus, and he's the answer for our sins, and he's the answer for our separation from God to restore us back to God through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, directly into God's dimension. That's what being a Christian is. And that's a very simple explanation going through thousands of years, but that's who we are as Christians, and we get connected to God through the Holy Spirit into his dimension. And he shares with us a tiny fraction of his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. Now, guys, let me explain something to you. I just had some people here. A friend of mine, Kelly, hadn't seen in years, came over with his new girlfriend, and I hadn't seen him in years. And we were talking about a lot of this stuff. The reason I cover this stuff with you guys today, and I do every so often, like every couple of months, is that we get a lot of new listeners, a lot. And they don't understand these basic precepts because my show is kind of up there as far as thinking. I mean, you guys have been with me a long time, for years, some of you. And we basically taught you, and you've learned a lot on your own, because it certainly hasn't been me through the Holy Spirit. You've learned, and through your own research, that, you know, what I'm telling you is pretty much the truth, accurate as far as I can make it. And if I find something that I tell you that's not quite right, I tweak it or adjust it. But this stuff is pretty doggone advanced we teach on this show. This isn't that show that's being done on a fourth grade level. Well, this is not that show. Okay, this show is being done at a collegiate level. It really is. I mean, words like atavistic. Who uses atavistic except for me? And then I explain to the new listeners deep-seated generational hatred, you know, or obfuscation to intentionally hide or to mislead. You know, nobody else talks like that on shows. And the reason I do all of that is I want you guys to realize that you've been set apart and you've been called to a higher purpose, a higher accountability. And we all need to work together to grow and to develop as humans. If that means our vocabulary or our knowledge or whatever we're doing, I do it. Because it's one of those things that when you guys are with me on the show, like with yesterday, I don't fake stuff like that. That's why I very rarely do it. But when the anointing drops on me like it did yesterday, I mean, I'm just gonna go with it. I had Brad send me a text yesterday because it's the best show you've ever done with you in Austin. It's unbelievable. And see, this is what I want people to understand is that I want to be. I mean, I've had people contact me from Australia about yesterday's show. I mean, I've been getting all deluged with emails, and very few of you even have my private email list. And so it's been one of those things that when I tell you this stuff, I want you to understand something. I'm a born again, spirit filled Jesus Christ. I'm a Bible-thumping, pew-jumping child of God. I mean, I am full of the Holy Spirit, and I am going to do everything I possibly can to promote the kingdom of Jesus Christ on this planet. Say, well, that makes you an extremist. Okay, I'm good with that, too. And like I said, they about to send a little short bus yesterday. I mean, I don't care. I don't care anymore, Austin, because, guys, if we don't – it's like with Donald Trump. You know, we still have 1,000 square miles of Afghan heroin being produced right now. We've got 10,000 metric tons flowing, over $1 trillion coming into the United States. We've got no border wall. We've still got Obamacare. And, you know, we got Gottlieb ahead of the FDA pushing vaccines. I mean, nothing's really changed with him. He's got a lot of talk. I mean, but why is Hillary still running around? We're fixing to lose control of the Congress for the next 2 years. nothing's going to be accomplished because he's going to be lame duck president. He's not going to have any ability to push things through Congress anymore. Why isn't Obamacare being done? Ann Coulter wrote an article. Now, I know a lot of you guys don't like Ann Coulter. She's a very conservative person in Washington. And she wrote an article. I'm going to read part of it. She goes, Trump's great wall becomes Trump's great stall. For those of us who were on the ecstatic the night Donald Trump was elected president, who watched the election night videos over and over again, it used to be easy to defend him against the charge that he's just a BS con man that would say anything to get elected. She goes, it's getting harder to defend him. Trump was our last chance. But he spent the last 2 years not building the wall, not deporting illegals, not ending the anchor baby scam. Within 10 seconds of Trump's leaving the office, there will be no evidence that he was ever president. Laws will be changed. Remember, Lyndon Johnson did this with Kennedy. Laws will be changed. Executive orders will be rescinded. Lyndon Johnson did this with Kennedy. Treaties rewritten and courts repacked. Trump will leave no legacy at all. Only a wall is forever. We had no choice. No one else was promising to save America. Quote, on day one, Donald Trump, we will begin working on an impenetrable, physical, tall, powerful, beautiful southern border wall. We will use the best technology, including above and below ground sensors. That's the tunnels. Remember that above and below, towers, aerial surveillance, and manpower to supplement the wall, find and dislocate the tunnels, and keep the criminal cartels out of the United States. Presidential candidate Donald J. Trump. Quote, but when he signed a spending bill expressly prohibiting him from building any part of the wall, he goes, I will never sign another bill like this again. I'm not going to do it again, President Trump said after signing it, a spending bill that blocked the funding of the wall. Today, 8 months later, Trump is about to sign another spending bill that will give him no money for the wall. Anyone want to bet me that he won't fund the wall? So much for the world's greatest negotiator. Donald Trump is the commander-in-chief. He doesn't need Congress's approval to defend the nation's borders. But as long as his excuse for not building the wall is that Congress hasn't approved the money for it, why on earth would he sign a spending bill that doesn't give it to him? Remember, this is a Republican-controlled Congress. There is no tomorrow on this. Republicans are about to lose the House, and it's now or never. Now, I'm stopping the letter for 1 second. I had another person contact me today, and she's a good friend. I mean a good friend. I mean a great friend. And she lives out in Colorado, and she says to me, get ready. The mass arrests are going to take place within the next 2 weeks. And I emailed her back, and I said, there aren't going to be any mass arrests. I said, oh, I so wish there were going to be. It's not going to happen. It's just all obfuscation. It's like the one caller who called it on Tuesday said, it's just smoke and mirrors that they're doing to us. I'm back to the letter now. He goes, we didn't need somebody to tell us how hard it is to get anything done in Washington. We already knew that. That's why we hired a builder. We didn't care that Trump's position on the lira was, that's the Italian currency. We didn't care about Syria. We were just looking for the best contractor we could find and we'd get a wall. So if we're talking about a golf course in Scotland, I think Trump could figure out how to get it done. But instead of winning, we're getting whining. We're told it's Congress's fault for not giving Trump the money to build the wall. ACLU will sue. The judge will stop him. Blame Paul Ryan. President Reagan bombed Libya in retaliation for two U.S. servicemen being killed by a bomb in West Berlin discotheque. He bombed the whole country. When Trump thinks he needs the approval of Congress, the ACLU and a district court judge in Hawaii to do something about tens of thousands of Americans being killed every year by illegal alien heroin dealers, drunk drivers, and straight-up murderers, it's not right. Reagan invaded Grenada because the country was becoming a Soviet client state. No Grenadian threatened to touch a hair on any American's head. One wonders what Reagan's reaction would have been to someone telling him, you can't do that. ACL will sue you. If Reagan had Trump's advisors, we'd all be speaking Russian. The ACLU, the Center for Constitutional Rights, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the other anti-American groups opposing Trump on immigration were the very same groups that opposed Reagan. They would have been happiest if the USSR had nuked this country. Actually, because they're communists, they'd have been happy if the USSR had taken over the United States. I'm adding that as a little thing here. Sadly for them, Reagan kept his promises, and we won the Cold War. So now it's back up to plan. Now the plan is back to destroy our country by flooding it with third world immigrants. We needed Reagan, and we got P.T. Barnum instead. Evidently, Trump knew he could bomb an innocent country based on false information about the Syrian government using nerve gas in April 2018. No less than the Organization for Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. But y'all let you guys finish reading the letter. But it really, really is important. And she finally says, Florida and Texas are about 5 years away from turning solid blue. That's a fact, guys. We'd live down here.
Yep.
They're gonna take our guns down here. I'm telling you. Trump was our last chance. After this, the country is never going to elect a real Republican president again. So the next time you watch one of the Election Night videos, remember, if Trump doesn't keep his immigration promises, Hillary might as well have won. Trump will leave no legacy whatsoever. Without the wall, he will only be remembered as a cartoon figure who briefly inflamed and assumed and amused the rabble. Guys, I hate to say this, but doggone it all, she's right. And you know, what's so frustrating to me is I pushed you guys to vote for Donald Trump. My God, anything but the witch of Benghazi. Anybody but that Sabbatean witch with her coven in California and her soul-cooking parties and her sacrificing chickens to Moloch. Anything but that. But we got ourselves a caricature. We got ourselves a caricature that's controlled by the Zionist press, that's controlled by his Rothschild handlers who paid off his debts back in the 80s, who's doing what he's been told to do, who's basically good friends with Benjamin Netanyahu, a war criminal, who basically is going to do anything he has to do to make sure that everybody stays happy as far as what he's doing. But guys, with what happened with Kennedy, with Executive Order 11110, how it was immediately rescinded, and how the troop strength was immediately increased after Kennedy left office, it was as if Kennedy never existed. Remember, when the Exchange Stability Fund was formed in 1933, 34, 35, it became the operational arm of the Treasury, which is the operative, and it also became the, and also in its own and controlled by the Federal Reserve Bank. We were given over to the Rothschild control in 33, 34, and they haven't let that loose yet because they're controlling the money supply and the strings and the purses. So guys, so until we get somebody who's willing to do what needs to be done in Washington, D.C. and not just get a rhetoric, or until we, the people of the United States of America, rise up, not in arms, because I don't think we can win an asymmetrical war with the government, but rise up and say, no more of this crap. We're not going to put up with this anymore. And, you know, quite frankly, I know I have a lot of my pastor friends that are on the Trump, how should I say, pastoral committee, and quite frankly, they haven't been to the White House now in a year and a half, year and three quarters, until the very few months of him being in office. And, you know, and they still are on the Trump bandwagon saying we didn't have a choice. It's like Chuck Baldwin said. I know a lot of you guys don't like Chuck, and probably a lot of you don't like Ann Coulter now. But, you know, I'm just reading what she wrote. Is this, you know, Chuck Baldwin said, you know, he's got almost 2 years in office now, and using the excuse about Hillary and the Democrats, it doesn't work anymore. I mean, guys, we have active denial systems that could be put in the border that would stop anybody from 1,000 yards away from ever getting close to the border. It doesn't make it. They couldn't get through it because of the microwaves. Just turn those on, leave them on. And quite frankly, the fact that he hasn't built the wall tells me that a lot of the rhetoric that he gave us, he's not going to do. And for those of you who are the QAnon followers and they were all telling you, trust Sessions, trust Sessions, trust Sessions, trust Sessions, really? Sessions isn't even around anymore. Sessions was fully compromised. I don't know what the world that boy had got himself into, but somebody had pictures of him doing something with somebody he should have been doing something with, or doing something he shouldn't have been doing. I don't know what happened to him, but that boy was being told what to do. Remember what Wayne Allen Root said when he was on the show a few years ago? He said that, I believe it was Wayne Allen Root, said that it could have been Robert David Steele. I think it was Steele. He said that Jeffrey Epstein had owned several large mansions that were used as hotels and brothels for young girls in D.C. and Washington, D.C. and New York City. And basically they were in and outs, and everything in there had been videotaped. You know, Jeffrey Epstein now is walking. He's basically walked, got a few months in jail, and he raped all those young girls. And all those young girls were left to believe that the court system was going to take care of him. But guys, when you've got the majority of the people in Congress emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically compromised by drugs, alcohol, prostitution, their whores or their high-end call girls or these children, their pedophilia, it's really hard to get those guys to change their vote. It's like Wayne said, you go through Congress and they make all the money you want, be a senator the rest of your life, get a huge pension the rest of your life, never have to deal with Obamacare. Or you can go down in flames in a scandal if you don't do what they tell you to do. And he said that they don't make you vote everything they want you to vote. Only every once in a while they say you got to vote this way. And that's how the Rothschild banking cartel and Otto Kahn said they control both sides of the narrative all the way through for their outcome, for their results. And their outcome and their results are to bring the United States into a Stalinist, Leninist, Marxist society that's going to completely collapse within, to turn the entire world then into desperation with a third world war, with the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians all fighting in a third war, which is what they said in the letters from Manzini, from Albert Pike, the big commander in the Civil War, who was the top Mason in the United States, who was pardoned by President Johnson, which got Johnson impeached, what Pike said, the Third World War is going to be that. And see, this is what they want, because then he said that way they can bring in their doctrine of Lucifer and basically rule the entire planet with their Luciferian New World Order. That's what this is all about. This has nothing to do with the destruction of the United States. That's just a part of the end game. The end game is the New World Order under Lucifer. And we talk about that. If you guys are on my private email list, I sent you the link from Brad Metzler's show on the history of the Spear of Destiny and what these guys said. In fact, I need to probably play that one time on the show, unless you do the last 3 or 4 minutes of it. But guys, it's one of those things that we need to understand. We need to keep our eyes on this ball. See, everything else that they're doing to us, all the smoke and mirrors, with what whore did Trump sleep with? What prostitute did he sleep with? What porn star did he sleep with? You know, what's the Mueller investigation all about? What about the Russian collusion? We've had 2 years of so much BS that we could have filled the Titanic with it, and nothing got done. We've got no wall, and now we got a lame duck president. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple aspects to it. The only positive spin that I could say about it, honestly, is, you know, the fact that we knew what Hillary would have already done. She would have gotten a lot done. She would have gotten a lot done for the negative. We already know what her plans were. We already know what her agenda was. So the only positive aspect we could take out of this, if, say, Trump really accomplishes nothing, nothing really gets done whatsoever. This is pretty much 4 years of just him filling the seat until they can get somebody else in there that's going to do their bidding. That's 4 years that we have the ability to try to wake up the general population. That's 4 years that we've been able to stay on this show and continue to wake up more people across the country. That's four years that we've been able to get more prepared and more knowledgeable and more informed and more awake about what's going on. So that's the only really positive spin. There's not a whole lot of them, but that is one positive spin about it, because you think about it from this angle. Like you said, the border wall's not going up. I'm telling you that right now. They're not doing anything about border wall. I hoped it was going to do something. But it's not. I mean, when they're talking about they don't want to fund it and they don't want to do this and he's signing this, but then we turn around and we go give the DOD another $780 billion, but we can't afford to even start on a border wall for a couple billion. And don't get me wrong, $1 billion is a lot of money. But when you're dealing with the Pentagon, $1 billion is like cupcake banana money at the 7-Eleven. I mean, they throw away $1 billion like they're wiping their nose with a tissue. They really do. I mean, we saw that with that audit on them. We found in this audit we've already can't account for $2.1 trillion. We're not talking billions. We're talking trillions. And it's not that they burned through the money. They flat out don't even know where it went. Or they jumped it in some black hole, some black op site, wherever it's going. Who knows? Probably funding more heroin production. That's all I know. But we still have troops in Afghanistan. That's sad enough. And one thing I was thinking about today, and this is interesting, because I was reading a little bit about the Korean War aspect of how the UN basically drug the United States into the Korean War. And the thing that I've noticed, though, if you look at this, you know that the bankers pretty much run both sides of every war. They fund both sides. Not only is it profitable, but think about this for a second. Every time we have a massive war, the main bulk of the alpha male, hard-hitting, fighting, blood, sweat, and tears, we're going to get it done and make it happen no matter what, fights these wars for them. And they die. You know, we had 116,000 American soldiers die in World War One. We had over 400,000 die in World War Two. We went ahead and had another 58,000 die in Vietnam. We had 36,000 die in the Korean War for no legitimate purpose whatsoever. None. 36,000. A lot of them froze to death over there. Then we've kind of figured out how to play the game. And so in Afghanistan, we have 2,200 die continually now, but we've had over 20,000 severely injured and dismembered. Same thing in Iraq. We had 4,500 dead in Iraq with over 32,000 severely injured and dismembered. So this is the next ball game that's playing. So the Afghan war doesn't just play a role of trying to produce Afghanistan heroin. It constantly pushes the narrative of we have to go to war, we have to be in a perpetual state of fighting, so we can consistently take the young, strong, testosterone-filled males and shove them in war combat theater to keep them dying as quickly as possible so that they don't have a revolution in this country like we had right after the Revolutionary War. I told you guys this on the show months ago, if you guys don't know about this. We had the Whiskey Rebellion just a couple of years after the Revolutionary War. I think it was 10 years after the Revolutionary War, 8 years, somewhere. But it was basically right at the end of the 1700s, to the point where the boys in the United States, the colonialists, were so riled up after Revolutionary War, when the even thought and the even inclination of a tax got brought up, which is when the United States basically said we have to have a liquor tax, a 1 cent, or excuse me, a 1% liquor tax, because we're trying to basically get money together to help rebuild things after the Revolutionary War. About three of the states went, no, we're not going to pay it. You can't put any taxes on us. And they were ready to go to war over it, to the point that Washington, George Washington himself, had to lead a troop, I think it was 20,000 military troop, all the way out there to Kentucky and this other state, to basically put these guys down, because they got in a big gunfight when tax collectors came out there and killed a bunch of people. They said, we're not going to pay any taxes. We'll kill you. We'll all die over it before we pay 1% on liquor. Y'all are going to die. Everybody's going to die before we pay it. That's the resolve they had back then. So that's why the Civil War had to occur, because they had to kill that resolve in the United States. And then continuing now, they have found that it's incredibly successful to start wars and send the young, fighting, aggressive, testosterone-filled males into battle to kill them, to keep that population culled so that they don't get aggressive here in the United States. That's why they're constantly promoting this transgender ideology. They're constantly promoting this political correctness. I mean, to the point now that it's disgusting to me that, I mean, you can't even say certain words. People freak out. I'm not even talking about like horrible words. I'm saying you can't even use simple terms and analogies anymore. People find it greatly offensive, because, I mean, it's embarrassing. And I don't mean it's embarrassing to me. I mean, it's embarrassing what society has stooped down to now, where nobody can talk their mind or speak what they think anymore. But this has been the overall goal of it, because you guys know, I mean, we have this banking system that is so controlled, and I mean, most people know this that are awake, that the central banks are, they're essentially a legally protected counterfeiting scheme. That's what they are, with the fractional reserve banking at a ratio that's essentially a secret on what they do with off-books balance sheets. Central banks create their own capital from thin air, and then infuse capital into international banks to do their purposes, and then it's super profitable when they have a crash, because then they go back in and they buy up the companies for pennies on the dollar. Then they go in and they buy the stocks back and make themselves even richer from the stock buybacks, just like they did in GM, and don't reinvest the money into the company. And now GM's broke again. After they got billions and billions and billions of dollars in bailout money, these guys came in, bought it, bought back all the stocks, completely and totally sucked GM dry. Now they said they need another bailout again. These guys are notorious for what they've done. And this is why, again, I talked about this beginning of the week, why Jesus completely and totally lost it and just blew up with his temper with the money changers that were in the temple. Because this is what this group of people have done. It is systemic throughout society, because they know the only way that you can really control the population is control the money and control the food. That's really the main way. If you can control the money and you can control the food, you can pretty much force anybody to do what you want them to do. And that's exactly what they've done now. And this is why I tell so many people, we have to continue to promote a cash-based currency in society. Even if the reserve notes are really worthless, which they really are, silver and gold, platinum, keep something based in some type of currency you can hold in your hand. Because, guys, the more we start pushing the way Sweden is, we're less than 1% of transactions are cash now. Once they go to a cashless society, it's done. And the IMF, in my opinion, they're going to be the next big head honcho to basically be the saving grace after the next crash. And they're going to bring out the Phoenix, or whatever they want to call it, just like they did in the front of that magazine in 1988, when it basically talked about the idea of Bitcoin being the new world order currency. It's talked about in the magazine. This is the next goal. So it's so important we continue to wake everybody up, to promote the basic principles and Christian ethics that we know to be right, and do everything we can. So, I mean, it's just, that's what we have to do. But on a side note, we talked about so much of this today, I wanted to bring something up here earlier, because there's two articles I really wanted to touch base on, two of them being on health. The first one being on turmeric. There's a new study that came out again. Turmeric, as you guys know, I'm a huge proponent of turmeric. The turmeric force that we carry is one of the highest quality non-GMO ones on the market. I mean, it's super pure, super critical extract. According to researchers from Mohini Siddiqui University, curcumin in turmeric, they said, is one of the primary powerful benefits in terms of protecting the human brain against fluoride poisoning. So we talk all the time about fluoride exposure. Most of our listeners know fluoride is incredibly toxic. That's why we don't recommend fluoride toothpaste, fluoride mouthwash. That's why we carry those without fluoride. We recommend the water distillers. Fluoride really makes you dumb and servile and fertile. That's really essentially what it does. It's a neurotoxin. There's no legitimate purpose for it to be in any type of human consumption whatsoever. They have found now in this article that curcumin prevents neurotoxicity induced by fluoride. The team compared the brains of mice given non-fluoridated water to the brains of other mice given fluoridated water. The fluoridated water plus curcumin, basically, or just curcumin itself. The researchers looked specifically at fluoride-induced toxicity on the mice's brain, including the chemical impact on lipid protection and rancidity in the brain tissue. They also evaluated markers of MDA, a well-known marker of oxidative stress and oxidative damage in the brain of mice from each test group. What they discovered is that fluoride greatly increased MDA levels in the fluoride group of mice, which is the well-known marker of oxidative stress and oxidative damage, while the MDA levels remained significantly low in the non-fluoride control group. Even mice given fluoride plus curcumin, however, still saw notably reduced levels of MDA compared to the fluoride-only group, suggesting that curcumin exhibits pronounced neuroprotective benefits against fluoride and its associated neurotoxicity. Now, the weight of the dosage that they were giving these mice of curcumin was 30 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. So if you do the math on that, if I'm not mistaken, it's somewhere, should be around, for an average male, you know, like a 200-pound male, that'd be around 2,800 milligrams a day of this, which is a fair dose of the turmeric force, but is easily to do. And this is why we're seeing so many health benefits from turmeric on a regular basis. So I saw this article. I really thought it was intriguing because I've had a lot of people ask me that. What can I do if I've been exposed to fluoride, if I've used mouthwash, if I've used toothpaste, if I've drunk water with fluoride in it, but now I'm awake, I'm trying to wake up, how do I reduce its effects? Well, right here, at least in my opinion, it seems to be that turmeric has a positive effect, at least on reducing the negative effects from fluoride, and probably at this high of a dosage long term, I would dare to say that it's going to have reversal effects on the brain as well, and helping to possibly remove fluoride. On top of that, I know the magnesium brain food, which is actually magnesium thionate that goes to the blood-brain barrier that we carry, popular product that everybody pretty much knows now, that product, in my opinion, too, can help pull out fluoride because it can chelate heavy metals and toxins. So if you're using curcumin and, like, the turmeric force, you're using turmeric force and the magnesium brain food at the same time, I would say that's probably a pretty good recipe to reduce fluoride damage and hopefully remove some from the brain. And again, that's just my opinion on it, but from the different research I'm seeing, definitely seems positive, Dad. What do you think?
Well, you know, rat poison is rat poison. I mean, that's what fluoride is. It's a byproduct of aluminum production, a byproduct of fertilizer production, hydrofluorosilicic acid. It comes in giant 55-gallon drums with skull and bones on it. Pour it on pure concrete, it'll eat a hole right through the concrete. It's that acidic. And they have to dump it in the basically water supply because they want to dumb us down and make us infertile. And first tested in the Nazi concentration camps. And that's what they learned in Dachau when they went into Dachau, and they continued doing the research through, you know, from, they continued doing the operation and the research and the mental and the physical, medical information research with Operation Paperclip in the United States through the MK Ultra program. And that's why it was called MK, because mind in German starts with an M. And here's the deal, guys. Control in Germany doesn't start with a C, it starts with a K. That's why it was called MK Ultra, because they were using the German acronyms, because they were learning how to control people's brains and activities. And again, it's about bringing down the population's general IQ scores. You know, in fact, some of the people are actually saying that the reason China is doing so well is the average IQ score in China is actually higher now than the United States. And they're trying to bring in the Chinese into the United States, into our major universities to work for our major industrial companies, because they have the ability to do things from an abstract reasoning standpoint because their IQs are higher. Now, what does that mean? All right, let me give you an example. I talked about this earlier. I don't want to do too much of this because I've already talked about this. But if you take a child that has autism or basically has got some – or has, you know, basically has a trisomy of 21st, autism, you know, the mongoloid. And you, I know they don't like that word, but, it'll, you know, that's just – what we used to call it, kid, when we were in college. But you take a child who has Down syndrome, and you basically, they have a 50 IQ or 60 IQ or whatever, they're barely functional, and you tell them, this candy, that you drink, eat this candy, it's going to make you really smart. And they go, oh, okay, I'll eat the candy. And they'd like to eat candy. Drink this water, it's got fluoride, and it's going to make you really smart. Okay, I'll drink the water with the fluoride, I want to be really smart. They're very easy to deceive like that. Here, strap this vest on, it has a bomb in it, and run over there in the middle of this crowded bus terminal or this train terminal and just push this button, and instantaneously you're going to be in Mecca, you're going to be in heaven with 60 virgins. And they go, oh, okay, let's do it. Why? They got a real low IQ. They don't think about the fact that they're going to blow themselves to pieces. They don't think through that. They're so excited about getting their 60 virgins and you know, and being in paradise forever. See, this is the ability of these guys to control us. Another thing, 20 million school children have been prescribed psychiatric drugs right now, in order to control, and these drugs have been known to cause suicidal thoughts. People don't realize that for many antidepressants have been a long-term core study of medication that 68% of the people, the most recent survey said they'd been taking them for more than 2 years, and 25% said they've been taking them for more than a decade. Despite what you've been led to believe, antidepressants have been repeatedly shown that in long-term scientific studies to worsen the course of mental illness, to say nothing of the risks of liver damage, bleeding, weight gain, sexual dysfunction, and reduced cognitive function they entail. The dirtiest little secret of all is the fact that antidepressants are among the most difficult drugs to taper off of, especially the benzodiazepines, for much, much more than alcohol and opiates. While you might call it going through withdrawal, we medical professionals have been instructed to call it discontinuation syndrome, which can be characterized by fiercely debilitating physical and psychological deaths. Reactions. Moreover, antidepressants have been well-established history of causing violent side effects, including suicide and homicide. This is an article that was written by one of the top people in this field. And guys, if we don't understand this is by Christian England. And so if we don't understand what they're talking about here, we need to take a close look at that. 7% of all visits to primary care doctors you're concerning antidepressants, and almost three quarters of the prescriptions are written without specific diagnosis. In other words, here, take this, you'll feel better. Many different physical conditions create psychiatric symptoms but aren't themselves psychiatric. Two prime examples, dysfunctioning thyroid and blood sugar chaos. Saw that with my buddy Robin, who killed himself last spring. Depression is a message and an opportunity. It's a sign for us to stop and figure out what's causing the imbalance. The other day, Austin and I got a little bit down, and I immediately went to the 5-hydroxyltryptophan and cod liver oil. I chugged a bunch of cod, took the 5-HTP, felt great the next day, thought, okay. You say, well, that's what I have to do, because guys, remember, when you're dealing with this information all the time like we have to, I got to study this stuff every day. I read hundreds of articles a day to bring you what I think is relevant. It ends up being a situation where, you know, you got to immerse yourself in this garbage, to be honest with you, and you've got to be able to get through it and not go nuts reading it because it's so negative. I do that through supplementation and through prayer, because we pray every single morning. I got to pray for you guys again today, by the way. And so, here's another quote. In January this year, the largest ever review of a clinical study reports compiled by drug companies found teenagers were twice as likely to commit suicide if they're taking antidepressants. Another quote. I believe that they should not. Doctors prescribe them because they can, and we have to deal with the difficult situations. So what they're saying is this. They're using antidepressants, which are changing brain chemistry, causing risks of suicide and horrible withdrawal symptoms, because there's some type of other thing going on in their chemistry that's causing hypoglycemia, different reactions, or nutritional deficiencies that they're covering up. So therefore, 20 million school children have been prescribed psychiatric drugs that have been known to cause suicide. Here's another one. Prevalence with autism. Here's a new study. 1 in 40, I mentioned this on yesterday's show, 1 in 40 now U.S. kids, according, this is on CNN, by the way, say that the study estimates now have autism. A survey of parents across the United States estimates that 1 in 40 children has autistic spectrum disorder. In other words, the condition was reported in 2.5% of the children, with an estimated 1.5 to 2 million children aged 3 to 17. We have millions of children now and adults that have autism spectrum disorder. Who's going to take care of these children? It's going to cost trillions and trillions of dollars when their parents die to house these kids and keep them taken care of. Now, some people say, well, they may be using these children for demonic possession. Okay, that's a possibility. I'm not even going to try to argue that. they may be using these kids for biorobots. Okay, I'm not going to argue that. They may be using these kids for medical experimentation down the road. Okay, I'm not going to argue that. They may be using these children if and when these entities that are around us decide to show up for them to basically inhabit. Okay, I'm not going to argue with that. We're dealing with scriptural and spiritual stuff here at this point. But, you know, here's what we have to realize. All of this stuff has got a satanic agenda. Right now, this is the Daily Mail. It's a major publication in Britain. Here's what it says. Exorcist is claiming that Celine Dion's gender-neutral kids' clothing line, claiming it is satanic, and that the stereotype free designs are a ploy of Lucifer. Gosh, this is pretty strong. We've already called this out. This priest over 65 years, who also slams the Catholic Church, by the way, for the pedophilia, and he's also an exorcist, and he's in Pennsylvania. He said, the way this gender thing has spread is demonic, and to say that there is no difference between genders is satanic. Celine, by the way, who was raised Catholic, baptized her three children. But remember, Celine Dion has gotten the nod from somebody to be as big as she is, to get leading songs like on Titanic and everything else. And nobody gets that big without the nod. And when that nod gets given to these people, also, when it comes time to recognize the nod and do the bidding of the nod. I remember Katy Perry's got a video. You guys can watch it on TV or on YouTube. She's actually singing. And she starts talking to her master. Master, I don't feel very good. Like she's talking to Lucifer. And she falls to the ground. And they pick her up and take her off the stage. In another video, she says right on the video that I sold my soul to the devil. Now, you know, guys, here's the thing. That's not something people joke about who raised as Christians. She was raised as a Christian. I mean, Christians don't come out and say, I did that. To say those types of things is such blasphemy towards the Holy Spirit that you literally are preaching eternal damnation unto yourself if you're a Christian and you're a born-again believer. And you know that by the Word. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And so when you have a person like Katy Perry saying that, speaking to her master on the platform, you guys can listen to it, watch it on YouTube, and then saying that she sold her soul to the devil, then Celine Dion here, another big singer, look at the stuff with Taylor Swift now with all the witchcraft stuff that she's been doing and Britney Spears with her meltdown that she had a few years ago. These girls are trained through and basically put through very deep mind control protocols at very, very young ages. You know, look at this Miley Cyrus mess, and she's on these concerts running around doing all kinds of lewd and lascivious behavior on the stage, serving her master as far as I'm concerned. Guys, this is not a battle of flesh and blood. But it's against the principalities and these demons. They go bump in the night. And we've got to realize that this stuff is real. I told you once. I don't talk about it very often because it gets too weird. I lived in a haunted house one time. Austin did too. He was too young to remember. And I saw some weird stuff. And someday I'll talk about it on the show again. I've talked about it before. And after those experiences, I don't ever want to see that again. It was really creepy. I remember I had a dear friend. Her name was Logana Lyons. She's dead now. May she rest in peace. And she actually intentionally went to a haunted house in England one time to rent it for the night just to get the experience. She said, Austin, around 11 o'clock at night, you know, almost midnight, that the doggone candlestick that was in her room got up and started moving by itself. And she said that was enough of that. She said she was got her bags and she was out, that she had seen enough and she didn't want to see no more. It's like the song, Mama Told Me Not to Come. Guys, this stuff is real. You know, it's real. And you got to understand that it's very, very real. And once you get that through your skull like I did, and you understand it and you internalize it, this stuff's not a game anymore. It becomes very, very real. These boys and girls that do this, and this is not a metaphor, they're playing for blood. And these guys are there to take your soul and take your children's soul and take all of us away and put us to a not really happy place. That's their goal. And guys, we got to stand against that because we have the blood of Christ. We've been sanctified by the blood. And as Christians, they have no authority over us, and we have complete victory through Jesus, because it says in the Word, O death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? Through Christ Jesus, they can't touch us any longer, because we have victory regardless of what they do on this planet. Guys, I love you. Show's over. Quick show again. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for your support. Thanks for helping us get through a really big sale week last week with Health Pastors and supporting us. Thanks for all of your generosity that you do. We have people donating on the give line, the support line. Guys, thank you. I love you guys when you do stuff like that because you don't have to do that. I mean, we're not a nonprofit. You know that. But it really helps cover the cost of the show, and you mean a lot to me. You guys are my friends. I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you guys. Austin, close it, and I'll do the write-up.
I got it. Yes, guys, and if you guys need anything, give us a call.
healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. You know where to get a hold of us. I do this every day on the show, so primarily for the new listeners if they want to find a way or they're just tuning in. But sincerely, call us up or email us if you need anything. We try to help everybody out the best we possibly can. Of course, we can't go into detail with pharmaceutical drugs and operations and stuff like that. For some reason, that seems to be a very big topic that people like to call in about, basically ask us advice on whether or not they should have an operation. You guys, that's a really loaded card to try to answer. I mean, it's not much we can really give you on that, except follow the advice of your doctor. But when it comes to health, nutrition, food, and overall better lifestyle, we're here to help you guys out. And, of course, we have the product of the week, which won yesterday. I forgot to bring that up on the show, which I'm sure you guys already saw it. The probiotic 350 billion, the very ever so popular probiotic formula. And when it's manufactured, it's 650 billion. The strongest probiotic market is on the market, in my opinion. There's nothing else you're going to test that's going to run this high. Nothing's produced at 650 billion or higher than that. And this is the top grade, peak, top shelf, as good as it gets probiotic. It's not cheap, but it's an incredibly effective product if you need it. And it's on sale right now for 15% off, which is a pretty big discount considering how expensive this product is to manufacture. When I first got the batch order on it, when they were making it, I realized real quick this was not going to be a cheap product. But for what it is and what it does, it's incredible. So be sure to check that out on the website, the probiotic 350 billion. And, of course, we have a new product, the Total Rest, that we're going to talk about a little bit more tomorrow. It should be on the website by tonight. Really good product. I think you guys will like it a lot. Stacks really well with the magnesium and the melatonin, which is a kit we're going to be putting together for you guys. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. And thank you for the support, guys. Thank you for all the order comments and all the emails. I'm still trying to get to all of them from over the weekend. And I got a lot of emails in, so I'm trying to answer all those the best I physically can. So thank you for your patience on that. We really, really do appreciate you supporting it. And please be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter on our website and forward our show. We send the show out every day to you on the newsletter so you can listen to it straight off your email, or you can forward it to people and get the word out. Thank you guys so much. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.